Today's show is brought to you by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/polaropposites. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free. Warby Parker makes it easy. You choose 5 frames you'd like to try on, mail the frames back, choose your favorite pairs to have your prescription added, and order. Warby Parker makes your experience completely risk-free and free shipping all the way around. So again, visit warbyparkertrial.com/polaropposites to begin your free home try-on experience today. So all of that is linked in the description, and with that being said, let's get to the show.
Anthony Cosby hyphen no.
Are you my cousin?
I'm your husband.
He my husband.
I'm your name.
What's my name?
Welcome everybody to another episode of the show. So grateful, so happy to be back, blessing you with another episode this week. It's a good one, it's a good one. So I will introduce our guest in a second. It's a new week, a new episode, a new guest, and I'm so happy that y'all are joining me again for this episode. So if you are new to the show, you like what you hear after listening to this episode, feel free to subscribe. Click that purple button on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the following button. I love to see and I appreciate all of the support. So if you also love the show and you don't know how else to express your gratitude and your love of the show, I have an idea. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating. I love to see and I love reading all of you guys and your comments and all the nice things that y'all have to say about the show. It truly means a lot to me. So if you are new to the show, this podcast is all about bringing together people who are different from me, people with different experiences and people with different, you know, perceptions about the world. So we might agree, we might disagree, but most importantly, we bring together our views to discuss topics that relate to our generation. So if you are new, thank you for being here and I hope you like what you hear. So as I mentioned before, it is a new week, a new episode with a new guest. This week, I am joined with my dear friend, Steffi. Hi, Steffi.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Polar Opposite listeners. I am so excited to be here, but I'm also very, very scared. But it's okay.
Yes.
Nerves are good, like Justin said before we started recording.
Nerves are good. I'm excited that you're nervous because that means that you don't know what to expect. And I like having my guests on their heels, never knowing what's coming next, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But Steffi, I always introduce my guests. I guess I'll let you introduce yourself. Who are you? All of that good stuff.
Okay, well, my name is Steffi. And I host two things. I have a YouTube channel called In My Humble Opinion, which is where I feel like Justin found me through my YouTube channel, because on my YouTube channel, I talk a lot about pop culture stuff. You know, I do reaction and review videos to different TV shows, but I also review movies and music. And then I have some vlogs here and there. Mm-hmm. But that's how Justin and I really got connected.
Right.
And then I recently started to host my own podcast called Diva Dailies. So that's like a podcast where myself and a guest usually will deconstruct a diva movie, and we'll talk about a diva and like why that diva movie worked and why it didn't, and the context of the time and all of that fun stuff. So that's kind of my spiel here. I'm just a huge pop culture enthusiast, I guess you would say.
Yes, we love to see it.
Yes.
So yeah, that's how I found Steffi. So everybody knows by now I'm a huge fan of The Handmaid's Tale. Steffi does like reaction reviews to The Handmaid's Tale. So I watched her stuff and then I started following her YouTube channel even more. And then she would also go on live streams as well and talk about everything basically. So that's how like I found out about Steffi. And then from there we started connecting and the rest is history.
Yes. Now we're here.
Yeah. And now she's on my podcast.
Yeah. Look at that.
I know. Love to see it. So this week, I guess we'll get into Off My Chest.
Justin's gotta get
off his chest.
You know he's gotta get
off his chest.
Justin's gotta get some fucking shit off his chest.
So, Off My Chest is a segment where we get to rant about things that are bothering us. So, if there's something that we experience throughout the week and we would like to get it off our chest, this is the segment for that. So, if any of you guys would like something read about something you would like to get off your chest, feel free to email the podcast. That is linked in the description. Feel free to DM me, or even on the podcast page itself, you can follow that. And I typically ask you guys to let me know if there's something that you would like to get off your chest. So, this week in Off My Chest, mine is kind of serious in a way.
I had a feeling it was going to be. No, well, because of, like, something recently just happened, uh-huh. So I had a feeling it was gonna, or maybe you might cover it in your next segment.
Oh, but, no. Yeah. It's definitely for this segment. Steffi, like, can read my mind sometimes. Like, what she said is definitely what I need to get off my chest. So, if you guys don't know by now, there's a huge story that's going on in the news about this guy. I forgot his name. I think it's Ahmad. I don't know if you know his name, Steffi.
Yeah, I think it is.
A black man was jogging in his neighborhood, and he's approached by two white men. A confrontation occurs, and one of the white men shoots and kills the black man.
The February shooting of the 25-year-old African-American man pursued by two white men is sending shockwaves across the country after this recently released video showing Arbery's final moments.
It's heartbreaking. It's 2020. And this was a lynching of an African-American man.
Arbery's family says he was out for a jog unarmed. Now, in newly public video obtained by Jacksonville station WJXT, we see the moments before that encounter. A man walking into a construction site and looking around.
So a lot of people are, you know, obviously upset because they kind of took the law into their own hands. Basically, they're saying that all the dude was doing was jogging in his neighborhood and he was approached, you know, shot and killed. And there's this whole dialogue going on about how people are not even safe, or black people specifically aren't safe to even jog in their own neighborhood. So everybody on my story on my Instagram has been posting it to their stories. It's really hard to escape if you've been plugged into what's been going on in the world. So I've been seeing people say that if you are silent on this issue, your silence, you know, speaks volumes. And I thought that was interesting because I've always been of the belief that, you know, normal people, celebrities do not have to publicly, you know, announce their political views, their dispositions on certain issues. I feel like nobody has to do that. And I feel like a lot of times people feel like if you don't voice your opinions on certain issues that you are either agreeing or disagreeing with whatever side that they'll drive a narrative for. And I don't think that's fair because I really don't even talk about politics that much on the podcast. People that know me privately know that y'all can talk about politics for days with me, but I never feel the need to like post about that all the time because I feel like my power is in the voting booth where I can, you know, express how I really feel, and that's ultimately when it matters. So I definitely don't feel like celebrities or people have to voice their opinions on, you know, tough issues like this, but anybody that does do that, more power to them. And I think that you're giving a voice to the voiceless in a way because you're getting it in people's heads and people are having a hard time escaping it and are having to confront it, I guess. So I guess that's the reason why they posted. But that was basically my get off the chest. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, Steffi.
No. Like that's all. Yeah. I think you pretty much like hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
It's been interesting because I follow like a couple of people who are like, you know, your more traditional celebrities or like your more social media, I guess, celebrities. And they were talking about how, I guess, like some people, it seems like they want the celebrity in question to like watch the video. And there's some people who are like, no, I did not watch the video. Uh-huh. I can't watch any more killings of black people. And some people have been like getting mad at them mm-hmm. for not watching, which I find really interesting. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I feel like people don't have to watch it. The story is enough. For context sake, if you really need to see exactly what happened so you can have a more informed opinion, the video is out there mm-hmm. and you can feel free to watch it if you want to. But if you don't want to, a lot of people are traumatized by that. It's scary to see somebody just shot in broad daylight, and it's jarring. Like, I understand if people don't want to see it, especially since it occurs so frequently in the media. So it's like people mm-hmm. want to like create these utopias for themselves where if you don't see the violence doesn't exist. But I think that can also be problematic too, because you do have to live in reality. And the reality is that this stuff is happening from time to time. So Ooh, it's tough. It's tough out there. But
yeah, it is tough.
Ah, it's sad. It's sad. But hopefully, like, with more information, we'll find out what's going to happen. And hopefully there is justice for the people that are part of his family. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Off my chest.
He really got that all in. But yeah, that was really well said.
Yeah. Did you have anything taken off your chest this week?
Well, I would say... Oh gosh, mine's gonna like sound so like first. Well, it's definitely like a first world problem, especially coming after that. So just want to put that into context.
Way to bring it down, right?
This girl's like really, yeah.
Way to bring it down.
Take it to like a different direction. Well, I don't know. Justin, are you familiar with Soup Plantation?
Soup Plantation.
Yes, I know it has like, I know that name kind of sounds a bit suspect.
Racist.
They're going to be like, get her off the podcast. Flop. I'm like literally like sweating here like, oh God, the listeners, they're exiting off of the podcast. This is going to be the least listened to
episode. No, this is actually a funny episode. So y'all stay tuned. Like, don't let the plantation run you off.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Like, as I was reading it, I was like, oh no.
Hey, I always put timestamps. So if people don't want to get bogged down by the bad news, definitely feel free to skip if it's too much for you.
Yeah.
But
yes.
To answer your question, no, I have not heard of Soup Plantation. What is that?
Oh, okay. Well, I wonder now if this is like only like a California thing, but Soup Plantation is basically like a salad. It's supposed to be like a healthy buffet sort of thing. Like, have you ever heard of like Hometown Buffet?
No.
Oh, well, maybe it's a California thing. Well,
maybe.
There's this place called Soup Plantation, and it's like, you know, like when you enter, it's like a salad bar, but it's like a really big salad bar. And then you also have like options like pastas and breads and soups. Anyway, getting to the point, they literally just announced a couple hours ago that because of COVID-19, they're like shutting down and they won't be opening again.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
just like really upset about it because fuck this coronavirus.
I know.
Now I
know.
Won't go to Soup Plantation. Oh God, it's just so upsetting. Well, okay, this is gonna kind of like lead me to like a side. This is gonna be my original get off my chest, but I guess it kind of relates to this. Is I'm like so confused as to where the corona situation is, at least in like Southern California, because like I'll be on the news or I'll be online and it's like stay home, don't go out, blah 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 blah. But then like if I do go out to like, you know, do my like once in a week grocery run, I'll see all these people out here. Also, listeners, I'm from Orange County, so all of those like little video clips of like people out and about in Huntington Beach, like I live like about 30, 40 ish minutes away from there, so that's kind of been also putting me in my feelings like, wow, now you're making us all look bad, like this is just this is just ridiculous. And like people on Twitter too are like starting to come after people from Orange County. And I'm like, wait a second here. We're not all like this.
I hate when people like ruin the image of your hometown or your school. Or-
yes. Oh my God. It's so embarrassing. They're like calling Orange County the Florida of California.
I disagree with that. Florida is Florida.
Yeah. Let Florida be Florida.
I really think that it's not just a stereotype that Florida is the craziest state. It is the craziest state. I have a lot of listeners in Florida.
Oh, really? Oh, God. Great.
I feel bad, but it's true. Every, like, tragic story or something, it's always in Florida.
Yeah. I always feel like it's either always in Florida or it's, like, Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's been some suspect things that have happened in Colorado.
Yeah.
But Florida, I definitely feel like, is, like, the standout state. Shout out to Florida listeners.
Yes. Hey, Florida listeners. Sorry for talking bad about y'all, but what is going on over
yes.
there? What is going
yeah.
on? Speaking of Florida, this is a little tangent. I remember like a couple weeks ago, either the governor or the mayor, it was the governor of Florida said that the beaches in Florida will now be open for essential purposes only. And I'm like, what essential activity is happening on the beach? I would like to know.
Right. Yes.
I would like
I
to
don't,
know.
I don't know. I think like the I don't know, one of like the higher up officials in Orange County, like kind of like released a similar statement to like the beaches are here for like, we must appreciate nature, like all of that stuff. So it's just like, I don't know about this.
Too much.
Stay inside. Save Sioux Plantation.
Stay inside. Be safe. But yeah, I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Yeah, I just had to.
Now we'll move on to In the News. So In the News, of course, is a segment where we get into the news stories that dominated the news, or at least the stories that I feel like talking about, because I definitely don't talk about everything. It's just the stories that I find interesting. So I don't know if you saw our lovely Adele posted a picture of sorts to celebrate her 32nd birthday. Did you see this?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did.
Well, people were saying, oh, Adele, because in the picture, she looks like drastically skinnier than what we've seen her look like or what we're accustomed to seeing her look like. And people were like, oh, Adele, you look beautiful. You look gorgeous. Oh, you look healthy. And I'm just scratching my head because there's a lot of body positivity people that tell you to love your body, love the skin that you're in. But the second that somebody loses weight, it's like, oh, you look healthy. You look good. So did they look bad before? Because I feel like there's a double standard with body positivity. To me, body positivity only applies to overweight people. The people at least that hate body positivity hate the fact that people are seen to be praising people that are overweight. They think that body positivity is you wanting people to live an unhealthy lifestyle and to be complacent in that. But I don't think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's hypocritical because Adele lost a lot of weight, but you don't know how she lost that weight. Is it stress? Is she sick? Does she have an eating disorder? Y'all are automatically attributing it to her living healthy and wanting to be a healthy person. But y'all are like projecting your own insecurities into Adele. You don't know the reason why she lost weight. Why is it body positive that she shed a lot of pounds? You know what I mean? It's just hypocritical to me.
I feel like maybe when it comes to Adele, they've maybe prematurely kind of written this narrative of, oh, like, you know, Adele lost weight. Well, maybe not necessarily because, but it was coming out of her divorce. Like, you know that Adele, like, recently separated from her husband.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, that kind of, like, tends to be the narrative of, like, oh, woman, like, dumps the man or, like, she gets dumped. Either way, the relationship ends and, like, now she's, like, gonna pull herself together by, like, getting her body together and, like, we're, you know, now stans of Adele are, like, where's the album, Adele? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I feel like it might also be, like, prematurely tied to that kind of narrative, so I don't know.
Yeah, and that's another thing. People rushing musicians. Like, what happened to the creative process? What happened to it comes out when it's ready?
Now, people only listen to a few seconds of a song on their iPods. They don't really invest in a whole album. It's all about the single and the hype. It's so much that gets between the music and the artist and the fans.
I'm absolutely with you on
that. They do it with Rihanna, too. Where's the album? Maybe she doesn't want to make music anymore. And I'd be fine with it because I'm not even a huge fan of Rihanna in the first place. So, like, if she doesn't make another album, I'll live. Like, and I can enjoy what she's released so far. Because believe it or not, Rihanna has released a lot of music.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like, when you, like, go back and you, like, look at her discography, she was pretty much coming out with an album almost every single year.
And with an album comes a tour. How exhausted must you be? Because we don't realize that, oh, a tour is you're in a bus traveling from city to city, from how many hours it takes to get from point A to point B, setting up the tour, getting in your hair and makeup, performing, getting out of that stuff, moving on to the next. It's just a lot of stuff that these artists put themselves through. That's why I don't shame any artists that want to do a residency, because it's so easy. You perform, you pack up, and then you go back home. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think it's really interesting because I think, I don't know if this is maybe because of, like, we're in the streaming age now of, like, that's how we consume media. And not even, like, when it comes to music, but when you think about the way we consume, like, television too, like, binge culture, you know? It's like, I think audiences or, like, you know, people who are consuming media in general, it's like they expect that quick turnaround and they're kind of forgetting, like, oh, like, creative process actually takes time.
Yeah, it does.
And, like, the people behind them deserve a break. Because when you go back to and you, like, look at the artists from, like, previous eras, previous decades, it's like there would be, like, 3-4 years in between an album. And, like, that was normal back then. So,
but now we're seeing it, like, back to back. Like, Ariana Grande, she released an album, Sweetener. And then within 6 months, I believe, she released Thank You Next. And I'm like, wow. Like, they're really having these artists crank out albums like it's nothing.
Yeah, quick turnaround, for sure.
Oof. Did you have any stories?
Well, I did see a funny tweet, and it was like, let Adele look like a sorority sister and live her life. Like, let her do her own thing, which I thought that tweet was really funny.
That is funny. I love Adele, and I actually have a part of the main topic devoted to Adele. Like, I have a question to ask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so stay tuned, y'all. Great. Stay tuned, Adele stands. Yeah. So the last story that I had was about the New York subway system. So apparently, in order to combat coronavirus, for the first time in 115 years, the New York subway system was halted in order for people to clean the inside of the subway.
New York subways got a deep cleaning early this morning. We were there when, for the first time in 115 years, the city that never sleeps shut down all subways for 4 hours. Cops were deployed to move out the homeless who have overwhelmed the transit system during the pandemic crisis. Cleaning crews spent the night scrubbing away.
And this made me shake my head so bad because I was like, ooh, we're fighting corona, and y'all are surprised that people are getting sick when your subway systems are so dirty that they haven't been cleaned in over a century. Wild.
Right. Yeah. I'm like concerned that this is the first time that they've cleaned it in so long.
Me too. And think about all the stuff that's in a subway. The railing things that you're holding, the doors, the seats, like none of that is ever cleaned.
Disgusting.
So nasty.
She was so nasty and so rude I don't ever bring anybody around.
Like, New York is, I'm not even going to say anything because we've already offended the Florida listeners. So I'll just keep it to myself. Because what do they say, Steffi? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yes.
So I will just not say anything at all. But that's it for In the News, I guess. So now, the part of the podcast you guys have all been waiting for. Here is our main topic. So this week, Steffi and I, we are discussing the toxicity of stan culture, cyberbullying in the age of the internet, and how all of this is changing in 2020. So to start, What is a stan? Some of y'all have heard it before. I stan this, or we stan that. I am a stan of this person. What exactly is a stan? Like, how would you define a stan, Steffi? All right, guys, this is post-editing Justin here. So I just realized as I'm editing this episode that I accidentally cut out the portion of the episode where Steffi and I discuss the origin of the term stan. So if you guys don't know, let me put y'all up on game, as the kids say. So the term stan actually comes from Eminem. So Eminem released a song in the year 2000 called Stan, and stan is all about the obsessive nature of one of Eminem's fans. So the fan is obsessed with Eminem, he writes him letters constantly, and Eminem doesn't respond to the letters. The obsessed fan grows agitated, and towards the end of the song, he gets his pregnant girlfriend, puts her in the car, and ends up driving off a cliff. Pretty bleak, right? Pretty bleak. So that is where the term stan comes from. And here's a little bit of the song in case y'all don't remember.
Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back. Just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan.
So that is the song Stan. And that is where the term came from. So now we use that term as a colloquial term where we're describing something that we love. And that could be anything from an athlete to a celebrity, a musician. Anybody can be a stan in a way. So if I love Michael Jackson and I love his performances, I can be like, I stan Michael Jackson. I stan his performances. I live for him. So that's the way people use it now. And yeah, that's where the term came from. So you learn something new every day. And if you didn't know that, there you go. All right, back to the episode.
Well, I feel like if I were to hear the word stan, automatically I think, oh, this is someone who is like a really hardcore fan of something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're very dedicated, they're diehard, they're obsessed, and the thing is, too, is that they're like very self-aware of their obsession. And I think, too, I feel like we use the term stan, it's like associated with like musical artists, that tends to be the thing. But right. I feel like people, like, you could be a stan of so many different things, like whether it's like a TV show or like a movie franchise, like a Marvel or a Star Wars.
A professional athlete?
Yes, an athlete too. Like, see, that's the thing. Sometimes these fans of athletes will kind of rag on other people who like certain things, like, oh, why are you so obsessed with like a Beyonce, or why are you so obsessed with this TV show? But then like this person is also the same guy that's like going out and, you know, making sure every weekend is dedicated to watching a game. So it's like, you know, everyone, or maybe not everyone, but there, it's possible for people to be stans of a wide variety of different things.
Right. Because I don't feel like I'm a stan of anyone. I'm a big fan of a lot of people, but I wouldn't say I stan anyone, because I feel like stan, it takes on a different meaning, because I like certain artists, but I'm not obsessed with anyone. Like, I'm not gonna hop in somebody's Twitter mentions and say, you bitch, you did this, you did that, F you. Like, I'm not gonna do all of that. Like, I feel like it takes a certain type of person to want to do that. First of all, I don't have the time to be doing that. I really don't. And second of all, like, this person doesn't know me. This person knows nothing about me. So I find it crazy to obsess over somebody that will never know who I am and doesn't even know that I exist. It's just strange to me.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, even though I definitely would call myself a stan of certain people, I don't go out of my way if someone says, like, they don't like someone that I like. And I'm definitely not in, like, these Twitter streets engaging in fights and whatnot. Like, that's definitely, definitely not my style. But in terms of, like just the basic idea of, like, I'm such a huge fan of this person and, like, their work, and I want to know, like, more about their personal life, maybe, because it, like, gives me some sort of, like, context for the work, that I am all about. Like, that's more my lane. So maybe like that's like a stage one or stage two.
Stage one, stage.
Stage one or stage two.
maybe stage two on certain artists and stage one on most artists,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I think that'd be more accurate.
The reason why I did this episode is because, you know, bullying is something that happens, you know, on the internet far too often. And I feel like stan culture, there's a segment of stan culture that engages in bullying tactics. If you don't like the artist, if you say one semi-negative or neutral thing about the artist, it's like, you're not a real fan, you're fake. And then they attack people, they go into your tweets and try to cancel you, they dox people, which doxing is a new term that has, like, come about. I guess that's like leaking the personal information of somebody that you don't like. Stans do that stuff. And it goes too far, in my opinion. And I think that this social age is the new form of bullying in a way. Because I feel like whenever I was in school, like, of course there were bullies, and I feel like there will always continue to be bullies. But I feel like bullying as a whole has kind of taken a transition from the physical world to the digital world. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, no, I completely agree. People can play really dirty online in a way that's like really, really scary. I mean, like, speaking of a particular stan group, I'm like scared. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. Look at me. I'm like scared to talk. This is what the stans do. You're like scared to like even be a little bit critical, even if it's not coming from like a bad place. But I remember when Beyonce's Lemonade came out, and people were trying to figure out, like, who's Becky? Who's Becky with the good hair?
He better call Becky with the good hair.
And then they, like, I don't know if, like, this ended up being true or not, but the name, like, Rachel Ray came up. So, like, the some of the stans of Beyonce went on the Instagram of the chef Rachel Ray, and they started, like, leaving, like, the bee emojis, and it was just like so sad. Like, she's just like minding her business in her kitchen, and she like wakes up one day with all these bee emojis. Little do they know, like, that's not the actual Rachel Ray. It's just like, oh god, you know, it's so sad.
Queen Bee's fans went on the attack, forcing Rachel to tweet, "I respect love, marriages, families, and strength. What shouldn't be tolerated by anyone, no matter what, is bullying of any kind." Fed up with the harassment, she made her Instagram account private. But some of Beyonce's fans got confused between Rachel Roy and Rachel Ray, targeting the famous TV chef by mistake. "Oh, I loved hot chicken fajitas, but I will never make them again after what you did to the queen," wrote one fan. Oops, wrong Rachel. Rachel Roy is reportedly the reason behind that notorious elevator meltdown when Beyonce's sister Solange went after Jay-Z.
Because that whole thing stemmed from, I think it was the I don't know, 2014 Met Gala. And this is when the whole elevator fight between Beyonce, yes. Jay-Z, and Solange happened. So apparently during that whole event, Jay-Z was being inappropriate and being too close to another woman. Solange saw it. Beyonce saw it. They were angry because I guess he's been cheating. And Beyonce stans love Beyonce so much that they would fight. And I think some of them would even kill for Beyonce. And I think that's a little, like, crazy to me because I wouldn't kill for anything.
This is not going to be the Hunger Games.
For a celebrity, it makes no sense. Like, so the fact that, you know, they wanted to find out who is... The thing is, what happened to accountability? Rather than putting B emojis on Jay-Z's Instagram, they go to the woman who they think that was, you know, fooling around with Jay-Z rather than attacking either both of them or Jay-Z himself. Because, you know, cheating is not a one-way street. You have to allow yourself to engage with somebody else, if that makes sense.
They definitely have a tendency to, like... leap to a lot of conclusions, I guess you would say.
Yeah. It's just too much. It's just bullying. And I feel like, what is the line? Yes, you can be a big fan of somebody, but do you not feel crazy by, you know, obsessing over somebody that doesn't know you? Like, you'll never see me, like, make my avatar, like, the picture of a celebrity.
I'm like, where's Justin?
I do not... You would never see me have the background of my screen like a celebrity. I don't care. Like, I can appreciate, you know, celebrities, but I'm not obsessed to the point of doing all that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not my thing. But my question is, when do you think fan bases go too far?
I feel like for me, it goes too far once you start invading, like, the personal space and privacy of said person. And also, kind of like what we were just talking about, kind of like when you, like, go out of your way, like, you really go out of your way to, like, attack someone who may or may not like your fave. And I feel like when, in either case, that kind of, it kind of stems from this, like, feeling or idea of, like, entitlement that you have over the celebrity, you know?
Honestly, I feel like we need to break down the psychology of a stan. To be honest, I feel like stans and people who obsess over celebrities, they, in their personal lives, they need validation. They need attention. And I feel like some people live vicariously through celebrities because they know themselves they will never be able to live that certain lifestyle. So they want to emulate as much as possible their favorite celebrity. And they will do anything to come to that person's defense because they live through that person. And it's this scary thing when it comes to fandoms because... everybody wants attention. You know, celebrities, you know, they want to be big because when they're bigger, they make more money. But at what cost? Because sometimes an unintended consequence of being famous is having a large and obsessed fandom that comes with you. And I feel like whenever it comes to stans and stan culture, a lot of people obsess over chart positions. Who's number one? Who's debuting at number two? Yeah. Who's selling more than so-and-so? Like, does that stuff matter? It doesn't. And another thing that they compete over is, like, who's number one on the Forbes list, or what's your position on the Forbes list? And then it's like, look at your own life. What are you on the Forbes list?
Where are your receipts?
Like, where are you on the Forbes list? You're worried about Lady Gaga and Madonna, who's number one or number two on the Forbes list. What about you? Like, right. Why do you care about the stupid stuff like that? To me, it doesn't make any sense. And even awards and stuff. Who won for this? Who won for that? And
I feel like when it comes to those, like, particular stats, I think stans kind of, like, use that as some sort of, like, badge of honor of, like, well, see, my girl's better than your girl, you know what I mean? But, like, my opinion is, because, you know, like Justin said, I'm, like, a huge, like, fan, and then, like, I would say there's two specific people that I'm, like, huge stans of, and they have receipts, okay? They have receipts. But when I think about the reason why I love that particular artist or that particular thing, it doesn't stem from the fact of, like, oh, it's because they sold this amount of, like, amount of, they had this amount of sales, or, like, they positioned here on the chart. I just feel like you don't define the reason why you like something because of
numbers.
A stat or because of a number. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think stans just kind of, like, use that as a, a power play, as a here's the this is like a tangible reason why my person is better, quote unquote, better than yours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like an ultimate stan's dream is to be acknowledged by their most favorite celebrity, and that goes to like wanting attention, whether don't have that in your own life, and the only way that you can like explain your existence is like through somebody else. And it's just too much, because you know I do not want to be famous, but I feel like I'm built for it.
I did not expect like that last.
I'm built for it. Oh no, I always imagined some that I would be.
I am built for it.
I'm built for it. Like I've always since I was younger, always saw myself as famous. But now that I'm older, I'm like, I don't think I would want the fame of it. I think it'd be fun for a couple of days, but it would get tiring because your life is never normal again. I would have anxiety because, you know, people and celebrities build these huge security systems in their homes, right, and they always feel like they're being watched. And I remember back in the day, there used to be a lot of incidents with stalking and all these celebrities having a stalker and like filing restraining orders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't think that it's worth it. Like I feel like a lot of celebrities, maybe they won't ever say it, but I think they would sacrifice their fame to be a normal person again. Some people I think don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Especially Michael Jackson. Actually, I don't know if Michael Jackson would sacrifice his fame for being a regular person again. I don't know. What do you think? Because you, like, let me tell y'all, Steffi.
Here we go. Lift the veil.
I'm exposing Steffi. I noticed how she didn't say who she was a stan of before. She's like, yeah, these celebrities, I love them. But she never said a name.
She never said a name. And, well, I kind of gave hints because I said I stan two specific people and they have receipts.
Yes. And it's true. They do have receipts. So Steffi is a huge stan. I don't care if she says she's a fan. She is a stan of Michael Jackson. And she is also a stan of, who would I say she's also a stan of? Whitney Houston?
Yes.
I think those are the two, right?
Those are the two main people that I really like, woo, I stan. And like to the point where like sometimes like I have even had to mentally like kind of catch myself. Like if I see like something where maybe someone says something a little bit out of pocket, I'm like, don't calm down. Like, you know, like, you know that sound effect that's like, beep, 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 like I literally, yeah. Like that's literally like I could hear that sound in the distance if I see something off and I'm like, no, don't engage. Just take a deep breath and keep going.
I'm inserting that clip.
Yes, you need to. Like, because that's definitely like the sound effect that I hear if I hear something a little bit out of pocket about them. But when it comes to Michael, that's interesting. Would he give up his fame? I feel like low key he probably wouldn't, even though there's been like definite like periods of time where he's probably wanted to and walk away from it all and just wanted to be a quote unquote normal person. But like if Michael Jackson, and I would say Michael Jackson fans are being like truly honest with themselves, you know, he really got off on that shit. So
I think he's too talented to not be famous. I feel like even if he didn't want to be famous, like his moonwalking ability, his talent is just too much for the world to not see it. So there'd be a way. Maybe he wouldn't be Michael Jackson, but he would certainly be like a famous dancer or choreographer or something.
Yeah, something. Some way he's going to be known for something for sure.
Yeah. But to bring the conversation back to toxicity, you know, there's a lot of toxic fan bases out there. Who would you say are the most toxic fan bases?
Oh, God.
You have to be honest. If it's the Beehive, you have to say Beehive.
Okay, well, I mean, I would definitely say the Beehive is, I would say, one of the most toxic fan bases out there. And to the point where, like, I mean, SNL did a skit. Did you see that skit? The Beegency. I don't know if, like, maybe that was pre them getting the Beehive name or post, and SNL just wasn't particularly familiar with the name at the time. But I mean, like, they're the stan group that had like a SNL skit about them. There was like I believe there was like a TV special just about them. Like, I really don't know of any other fan base that is just so well known to the point where like they're having, you know, specials and skits
devoted to them
about them. Yeah, exactly.
He was a normal man.
God
guys. Thank you so much for such a great birthday.
With an ordinary life.
To friends.
Until one day.
You guys, I cannot stop listening to that Beyonce album.
Oh my God, yes, I am obsessed.
Everything she does is perfect.
Totally.
He turned against his country.
She's so good. I'm not a huge fan of that one drunken love song, though.
What?
And it's Queen.
That one just doesn't do it for me.
Gary, what's he talking about?
Nothing. He's joking, right?
No.
Tell them you wouldn't say something bad about Beyonce.
It's too late. They've come for him.
Who's they?
You need to run.
What?
I don't know. I think I agree. The Beehive is up there. I think the Nicki Minaj stans are up there. Taylor Swift is up there.
Justin's like, let me pull out my list.
I did make a list. Like, those three I wrote down.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think what else. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to also answer this question because I don't particularly, like, engage with, current or modern artists. Like, I would definitely say, like, of the current people, Beyonce's my favorite. So when I call out Beehive, it's like I kind of have like an understanding of that because I was like kind of in, not to the point where like I'm, you know, bee emojis. I used to say like, oh yeah, I'm Beehive. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm Beehive anymore because of the connotation that comes with that. But I guess if I were to kind of like give an outsider's opinion, maybe I would throw in like, what's that K-pop group?
Oh, BTS.
Yeah, like, they're very devoted.
It's just too much. Ariana Grande has a lot of stans. Like, it's just too much. But I think that, honestly, I can kind of relate to why people would want to be stans. Because I feel like they're a piece of them is, like, living in a fantasy world on the internet.
Right.
Where they get to say and do anything that they want with no consequences. And I relate to that because I remember as a kid, I don't know if you know what Zwinky is.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wow,
yes.
You're the first person that I've talked to that knows
it was
what
like
Zwinky
it was kind of like it was kind of like it's not really like Sims, but you would kind of like make up a character and you could like go into these chat rooms and you could like change outfits.
Yes, in the age of dial-up, like I would go on Zwinky, and Zwinky is, as Steffi said, like a chat room where people can talk to each other from all around the world. So in real life, I was this sheltered, like, African kid, Nigerian kid that didn't curse or anything like that. But I felt like in the internet, in this chat rooms, there's nobody to hold me accountable. So I felt like I can, like, say all the things that I wanted to say without anybody putting me in check. So since I didn't curse in real life, I'd be like, in the chat rooms, I'd be like, move, ass, move.
Oh, my God.
Move, bitch. And all of, like, all of these things that I would never say in real life, I'd be saying them in the chat room and cursing and like doing all this crazy stuff, but you would never catch me doing that stuff in real life. So I feel like for a lot of these people, they're living this like fake fantasy where nobody can hold them accountable and they can do and say whatever they want with no consequences.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, that's definitely the reason why I feel like even on social media, people, they can quite literally hide behind a different picture.
Yeah.
They don't have to own up to who they really are on the internet. They can quite literally hide.
Yeah, this is bringing me to something that I was gonna say. You know, with cyberbullying, you know, Melania Trump, one of her biggest initiatives is cyberbullying.
I didn't know you were gonna bring it here. Okay.
Oh, I'm not bringing it here. I'm just giving an example because her whole like thing is cyberbullying, but yet I have heard nothing of an initiative that she's done. One initiative that I propose, and I hope this truly never happens or we never come to a place where this is implemented, is a way to stop cyberbullying. I feel like for social media services like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all of those things, one way to combat cyberbullying, in my opinion, is to lift the veil of sorts. I feel like for some of these services, in order to hold people accountable for bullying, because we know that some people can drive other people to commit suicide based on the mean things that they're saying to somebody. So I think to hold everybody accountable, one method that could really make a difference is if people have to scan in their ID cards before they're able to use whatever social media that they want to use. That way, the government knows who exactly is behind this profile. So when they're able to pull up like the controversial things that were said that led to something bad happening, they know who exactly was behind that account. Because these days, anonymity, you know the word, anonymity or whatever, is something anonymity. That people get to hide behind. Nobody gets to hold them accountable for saying and being crazy, but I think that would be one method to do that. And I know people are scared. I already put that into the world, and the government, you know, they listen to the show, so they are hearing that opinion. So what do you think about that? Like, do you think that would combat cyberbullying? What are the pros and cons to that, and what is your take on that?
Wow, well, that is like a pretty fancy system that you have come up with. I mean, that would definitely have to hold people accountable for sure. Mm-hmm. But my question is, in like your system, like say I'm on the computer and like, you know, it scans me before I like log on to Twitter, then on Twitter, would they know who I am? Would I still have the ability to like post, like if I were like a huge, I don't know, like if I'm a huge Whitney Houston fan, and could I still use like Whitney Houston as like my avatar person?
Yes, you
even
can.
Though the system knows who I really am?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
So
the way
the system works is you only scan your, like your driver's license one time. So they have it in their interwebs. You know how you make your account and you put in your email and stuff, but some of that is not displayed to the public?
Yeah.
That's how it would be. So you can change your name on your profile. You can change your picture on your profile, but that doesn't matter, just as long as the government knows who is behind that profile.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that would work to a certain extent, but I still feel like even if the government did, in this hypothetical, even if the government did know who was really behind that identity, I'm not quite sure if that would necessarily like stop the Twitter toxic fighting that goes on in the timeline.
It definitely wouldn't. The only reason why it would be implemented in the cases of when somebody like dies or they commit suicide and they want to find the reason why and they do an investigation, they'll see they'll see all of the accounts that was bullying that individual, and then they're in trouble. They're in trouble.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So I guess like on that end, I guess it would work. That would actually be really, really handy.
But hopefully it doesn't have to come to that. Because now, I feel like we're in the golden age of sorts of like keeping yourself private, I guess, and not, I guess the government always knows who you are because your IP address, they see all that. They know who we are and everything. So I guess maybe there's no need for that because they know who's behind it. But I think that could be a way to deter people from being mean online. But then that brings in another thing of silencing and free speech and is hate speech and all of that stuff. How that complicates the narrative of, yes, you want to stop people from bullying, but at what point are you policing people from saying what they want to say?
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's definitely, we definitely have to flesh out that idea more, but I think you're onto something there for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, there are cases that I can remember, like, off the top of my head where stan culture has gone too far. One moment I remember is, I think, in 2018, 21 Savage, I guess people found out that he wasn't an American citizen, that he's actually a citizen of the UK, and he was arrested. ICE detained him, and he was arrested, and I think deported, even. And then Demi Lovato, I remember, was making jokes and saying, this is how 21 Savage writes his raps, and she posted a picture of a feather pen, and then all of these like 21 Savage stans jumped into her mentions and were attacking her and saying, don't you need to go snort cocaine, and don't you,
oh my god,
yeah, they were bullying her to the point where she deactivated her Instagram. And I'm like, this is just too much. Like, you love 21 Savage enough to bully somebody into submission to the point where they deactivate their entire, you know, social media? It's too much.
Wow, I did not know the details of that story. That is
that happened.
That is crazy.
And then another situation was with the whole Cardi B and Nicki Minaj fight. Like, nobody was there. Okay. Like, the only thing we had was the video, and even that didn't tell the full story of what happened. But yet we saw these fandoms taking sides of who was wrong and who was right, and, Nicki this and Nicki that, and, Cardi this and Cardi that. And I'm like, y'all don't even know what happened, and y'all are attacking each other over a situation that nobody even knows what happened. Even the people there don't even know what happens, and yet these stans seem to know everything, it seems.
Right. What situation are you like specifically talking about? Is this like the shoe throwing? I just feel like there's so much there with Cardi and Nicki.
Yes, it's the shoe throwing situation.
Oh, okay.
Too much. It's just a lot. Like, and you know that we're in the midst of a stan war right now? Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce, they released a remix to her song Savage. And right. Doja Cat and Nicki Minaj, they released a remix to her hit song Say So. So they're saying that these two songs are battling out for number one on the charts next week. And all of these fandoms are starting these, oh, stream this and stream that. That's too much. Like, there's whole like streaming parties that happen. That like all of these fans said, at 8:07, we are all going to stream this song so it can go number one. Like, okay, if that song happens to go number one, do you get a cookie? Do you also get a number one? Like, what?
What we were saying earlier, I think like when they see their person achieve some sort of like success, they in turn feel like they're also achieving success because like they kind of take them being a fan of like Beyonce in this case, or them being a fan of Nicki Minaj, is like that's kind of like a personality trait for them. So yeah, I feel like that's just exercising a lot of energy. Like, I've heard of people too, like say, you know, when you stream a song on Spotify, you can't make sure it's like not all the way turned off, because if it's all the way turned off, it doesn't count as a play. So it has to be like a little bit. You're just like, wow, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot. it's just too much. Who has the time for that, to just stream one song over and over in the hopes that your favorite artist will go number one? Like, I guess that shows how much of a dedicated fan you are, but that's weird. Like, my thing with being a celebrity is I want my celebrity, or not my celebrities, I want my fans to be normal. Like, if I was ever famous, I want my fans to be able to have a normal conversation. Like, we can, like, hang out, and it wouldn't be weird. I would be uncomfortable if I was meeting one of my fans, and they're like, oh my god, Justin, I love your podcast so much, oh my god. I'm like, can you calm down? I'm just a normal person. Like, calm down. And I feel like maybe some artists feed into that. I feel like Beyonce feeds into that, because she's silent, and she doesn't engage with any of her fans. And maybe, I don't know. I don't know if a part of her like likes how people hold her up on this pedestal as this queen bee, as this diva, you know, because that's how she operates. Like, the elusivity is what makes Beyonce as big as she is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's kind of the thing that I feel like, out of all celebrities right now, what Beyonce has been able to do really well is, in this social media age, instead of engaging with her audience, like, you know, whether it's like tweeting or like, you know, Instagram stories, like, she's kind of like taken the reverse approach and not really engaged at all. And it's more of like, if you want to know about me and you want to know about my personal life, like, listen to the art, listen to the music, listen to the albums. And like, kind of like you were saying, it's like mystique. And I actually think that's actually kind of smart too, when you think about it, because if you're not going to be posting about like your personal life, and instead it's like you're forcing people who do want to know about that to engage with your art, like, that then kind of like helps the sales of like your album.
It does.
I don't know if she's like thinking about it too deeply, but like, I don't know. That's
interesting. Same with Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, the same way. There's this mystique around Frank Ocean. Nobody truly knows him because he's not easily accessible. And I feel like sometimes celebrities these days feel like they have to engage with their fans in order to, you know, be big. And for some people, they have to do that. Like, they rely on that interaction in order to build up their fan bases. But some artists have the privilege of not having to do that. Like, Beyonce just released the remix to Savage. And did she make an announcement? Did she do a post? No.
Right.
She didn't do anything. And it's about to go number one just because her name is attached to it. Isn't that crazy?
And I feel like, too, like, I think, like, when it comes to Beyonce, she came, like, she kind of lucked out in terms of, like, her positioning in like, the grand scheme of the timeline, you know? Because, like, when she was coming up, it was, like, 90, like, you know, the 90s, and then throughout the 2000s, she was still, like, kind of, like, building a name for herself, like, through her solo work and whatnot. But, like, the age of the internet wasn't really there yet, and it definitely most certainly wasn't what it was now. So she was kind of able to build up her career to like a certain point before she was like in a situation where maybe it would have been advised like, oh, Beyonce, get on Instagram Live with Kelly or something like that. You know what I mean?
Because she didn't make an Instagram till 2012.
That's pretty
late to the game. Instagram had already been like existing and thriving, and I felt like she reached a point where she's like, maybe was advised to maybe make a social media in order to be relevant for the people of today, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah, exactly.
yeah, exactly. With stan culture, I do feel like it's delusion. A lot of delusion drives stan culture because a lot mm-hmm. of people are unwilling to see the faults in their favorite celebrities. And that's very yeah. dangerous. Like, I did yeah. an episode with my friends DeAndre and Charlton, and this was one day after Kobe Bryant had passed away. And we were having this whole discussion about Kobe Bryant and holding him accountable for that whole rape situation that happened. Not saying that Kobe did rape the woman, but they were, like, right. very quick to defend Kobe, and they weren't wanting or willing to look at both sides to the situation. Like, a lot of stans will ride hard for their favorite artist, and they will mm-hmm. like not look at the details, that overlook things just so they can side with their fave. And I think that that's mm-hmm. dangerous, because you have to be honest and you have to be willing to be critical of your faves. Because I can be critical of my faves. I'm not afraid of being attacked by the Beehive or whatever. Because even though I don't stan anyone per se, I would say that I'm a big fan of Beyonce, a big fan of Frank Ocean and Miguel. Do I stan them? No. But I feel like I'm still able to be critical. I'm very critical mm-hmm. in the sense that I did not like that Everything Is Love album. I felt like that was concert merchandise that they just threw at the fans and made in 5 seconds. I feel like there was really not much work put into that, and it felt lazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, totally. I think, yeah, that's kind of the case with stans in general too, is they don't want to see any fault in the person that they really, you know, hold to a certain pedestal. Mm-hmm. And like any sort of like critical discussion about the person, even if it's coming from like a, not from like a malicious place, but like, mm-hmm. okay, let's like critically talk about the work, or maybe talk about like the way they operate in entertainment. Like any sort of like little bit of criticism, they're going to take as like a personal
attack. Like, mm-hmm. come on. You can't just go through life thinking that people can't do wrong. And I think that's the danger with putting celebrities on a pedestal, because some people think that celebrities are perfect, that Nicki is perfect, that Beyonce is perfect, but it's not. And I feel like that elevator fight with Beyonce opened a lot of eyes and was like, wow, Beyonce can get cheated on? Yeah, because she's a real person. Wow. Mm-hmm. Beyonce can be in like a physical altercation like that? Yeah, because she is human. She's not just this untouchable force, even though sometimes it might feel that way. But these celebrities are just normal people, and it's scary to put them on a pedestal, because when they do wrong, then what happens? What lesson are you learning? And stuff like that.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I think people definitely forget that these like celebrities, despite, you know, what you see on TV or online, they're actually like real people too. Mm-hmm. And because you hold them to such a high pedestal, you know, you're not allowing them to be, to just like be for good and bad. It's kind of like, you know what it kind of reminds me of?
What?
This is like, you know, like Great Gatsby. You know how he like held up Daisy to a certain pedestal? Ooh, look at me.
I know.
Some academic.
back to English.
Yeah. That was like the only book I read in high school. It's like, this is kind of like Gossip Girl in the 1930s. Yeah.
Because I sparked notes all of the books I had to read for school. But yeah, let you finish.
Oh, man. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of like that situation. And that's definitely something that could happen when you are a stan, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, they're unwilling to see the truth, and they're unwilling to see this person as a real person that has feelings and emotions as well. Because even that whole Kanye, Kim Kardashian, Snakegate thing, like, since that whole incident, Taylor Swift has still never turned on comments on her Instagram post.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To this day, all of the comments on her post are deactivated, because I guess she doesn't want to allow her social media to be a ground for people to bully each other back and forth. And I feel like I would do that too. Well, I feel like I wouldn't. My fans would be normal. Because even though I'm not famous, like, I'm looking at the people that like listen to the show and that mm-hmm. I know and that I communicate with, and all of them are the most chill people. So if my fan base is going to be like anything relating to the people that listen to the show, my fans are not going to be doing crazy stuff like that.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So, listeners, Justin is holding you to a certain level of accountability here. You better live up to that normalcy.
I'm dead.
Don't be crazy here.
Don't be crazy. Don't be crazy.
Don't be crazy. Don't be crazy.
Mm-mm. Let me think. What else did I write down? Did you have anything that you definitely wanted to say about stan culture?
Let me see here. Okay. Well, this is kind of an old tweet, but I do remember this tweet like when I came across it like several years ago, and it was a tweet from, I don't even know if this person, they might have changed their handle by now, but I'm going to give them credit, at Sam Sykes Swears. So they came up with the six stages of a toxic fandom.
Ooh.
Okay, so I'd like to know your thoughts on if you agree that these are the six stages. Okay, so it's stage one is I love this. Stage two is I own this. Stage three is I control this. Stage four is I can't control this. Stage five is I hate this. And stage six is I must destroy this.
Uh-oh. So those are the six levels to, like, stand-em?
I guess, like, maybe not even just stand-up, but maybe specifically, like, within, like, yeah, I guess, I guess you would say. I have it labeled here as the stages of a toxic fandom, but I guess these are the stages that you would have to pass through in order to get to, like, toxic level. You
know, yes. What I mean? I feel like there's people, a lot of people that are level six. The level six people, yes. The level six people are the people that we're talking bad about on this episode.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate, too, because, like, you know, when I personally, I know we're bringing up Beyonce a lot, but that's just because, like, that's kind of, like, my way into this discussion. But I feel like when I think back on that period of time when I was, like, a really big Beyonce fan, it really was because, like, you know, I was such a fan of what she was coming out with at the time. Right. And I think as, you know, time passed, it wasn't necessarily, like, I no longer like the work that she's making. I'm still, like, a fan of it. But the reason why I kind of started to kind of step away from that and not really, like, you know, engage or even look at, like, or even follow any, like, Twitter accounts that would kind of give me news of, like, oh, Beyonce is rumored to be making this, blah, 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 is because of the people within that fan community. And it's kind of unfortunate, too, because, like, you know, like, when you have these fans, especially who are on Twitter, and they're only using, like, you know, they're not necessarily, like, using a picture of themselves, but they're using the picture of the artist as their, like, profile or person. It kind of, like, it's, like, it gives the artist, like, a bad association.
Yes, it does. Know?
And it kind of ruins it for them. It almost becomes
embarrassing. Embarrassing to be associated with that artist. Oh, you're a fan of so-and-so? Like, people look at you like, what's wrong? Like, she's weird. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I feel like kind of, like, that's, like, one of the reasons why I've, like, stepped back from even calling myself, like, a huge Beyonce fan, because of the negative connotation that comes with it. Because then you start, like, you could already see, like, the B emojis and whatnot. So it's just, it's just really unfortunate that it gets to that level, because you think you're helping your artists by, like, oh, I really want to, like, boost them up. But, like, by you acting crazy, you're actually making them look bad.
Yeah, you are. And I'm sure Beyonce at times is even embarrassed. I remember even a recent situation with her where her publicist had to come out and say, y'all need to chill. Do you remember what that situation was?
You know, I don't remember the exact situation, but I think, wasn't it because her and Jay-Z were, like, sitting courtside at Golden State? It might not be that.
It is that.
But I do remember that.
Please talk about
that. So there was, like, a situation where Beyonce and Jay-Z, they were sitting courtside at, like, a basketball game. I think it was Golden State. And I guess, like, Jay-Z was, I don't know if, like, necessarily, like, his body language, or maybe it was, I think it was the woman's body language. Yeah. It was kind of, like, a little suspect, or,
well, it was, you know, Jay-Z on the right, Beyonce in the middle, and the owner of the Golden State Warriors wife to the left of Beyonce,
right? And, like, Beyonce was kind of like, I don't know, maybe she just, like, looked annoyed, or she just looked like, I don't know, you know, see, that's the thing,
reading,
you're jumping
too much
to a lot of conclusions here.
Yes.
And so the Beehive, or fans, like, extreme fans of Beyonce, they were able to track down this woman's, like, social media, and that, to the point where they started to, like, you know, leave bee emojis on all of her posts. God. And it got really bad, and I think she may have, like, turned her account on private, or maybe she deactivated, I don't know, but it just escalated to a really, really bad level, to the point where Beyonce's, you know, publicist had to get on Instagram and basically say, like, please stop. Which is like, it was very rare for her to do that. So yeah, it must.
And it's embarrassing for Beyonce. Like, her fans are so crazy. Imagine her having to apologize and explain to that woman, "I'm so sorry. Like, my fans are like too much." Even, but I hate the when celebrities like feed into the negativity that their fan bases have. Nicki Minaj is an example of this. Like, I feel like sometimes she encourages her fans to be crazy and nasty, and that fuels their obsession and their anger towards other people that have anything, you know, negative to say about Nicki. They attack them to the point where it's just stupid. It's just stupid.
Yeah. And it just like, and just like when you take it to that place, it really does suck the fun out of being a fan.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, the reason why you became a fan in the first place is because you love that artist's work, or maybe like even now in the age of like social media, you love what that that person represents or what they stand for, so you want to support them. But then once, you know, over time you start taking it to like a really bad, like a really toxic, deranged place, it's not fun anymore.
It's not. And I think it's just, it's just internet tribalism. That's what it is. Because I was doing my research. I was like, let me research some of this terminology. And people were saying it's internet tribalism. And it's not only applied to fandoms. It's applied to political parties, religion, any members of a fandom. It's groupthink, basically, where if you don't think the same way we do, you're on the opposite sides. And it's true. Democrats and Republicans, Christians versus Muslims. Beyonce versus Rihanna fans. And that's another thing that we need to talk about, how people within fandoms create these feuds that don't even exist. And then sometimes it can, you know, permeate within real life, where you might not hate this other celebrity, but because y'all's fans are creating this negative energy, it kind of makes you feel awkward when you actually interact with each other. Because I talked about on last week's episode that I find it strange that Beyonce and Rihanna have never collaborated with each other. And I think there is something to that.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
because for the longest time, I haven't seen much of it recently, but remember back in the day, it was always Beyonce versus Rihanna. Who's this and who's that? You remember that?
Yeah. There was definitely like a period of time there when I felt like, and that's an interesting point. I definitely feel like there was a period of time when there was like a lot of tension between the Beehive, Beyonce's fan group, and the Navy, Rihanna's fan group. And you know, I don't know these women personally, but it would definitely be unfortunate if that the toxicity and beef between the fans is may or may not have been a reason why they haven't been able to work together. So I don't know.
It's just insane. It's just too much. And we're not saying that y'all shouldn't love your artists, because I love artists. Like, we love music. We love culture. We love, you know, sports. Like, we can love all of those things and still be big fans of people. But I think that you can really head into a dark place when your love of somebody turns into an obsession. Because it's very uncomfortable, I'm sure, even for them, for somebody to be obsessed with you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because that's like a weird relationship. I mean, like, that's a I feel like that's a completely different like conversation too. But like the relationship that I guess like a celebrity has to their fan is a complicated one, because it's one sided, right? Like the fan feels like they know everything about the celebrity, but yet, you know, with the celebrity, it's like they don't really know you.
They don't.
But you feel like they do. So it's just like this weird like imbalance of power dynamic here.
Like, we don't know these people. We truly don't. Like, as much as we have access to all this internet stuff, we can look up anything we want. We have pictures. We see them out in public. Like, we're only still seeing bits and pieces of these certain celebrities' lives. Like, we don't know them at all. The only thing that we know is the art that we consume. And that's what fuels fandoms. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, you kind of have to, I think as a fan, you just kind of have to just like respect what they have given you and like leave it there. Don't put any pressure on them to, you know, you need to come out with this album now. How come? Like, I remember sometimes, like, you know, when Beyonce would post pictures of her on like vacation, they'd be like, like there was this one specific post I remember. I think she posted this on her like YouTube channel where she skydived off of like this bridge in Australia. And people were saying like, there better be an album down there.
It's annoying.
Oh my god, leave her alone. It's annoying.
Can I live? Can I live?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally, everything is a controversy. Everything relates to music. Like, I don't know. I just think it's too much. Let these people live. Enjoy their lives. They're rich. Mm-hmm. Y'all made them rich. Yeah. So at least let them enjoy their money while they're at it. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah, let them live their life. Give them their space. Let them be who they are. I think, you know, as fans, you don't put, like, your expectation of who you want them to be and project exactly. that onto them. Oof. Just let them be. Let Oof. Them be.
Look at you, yeah. Steffi. Wow.
I know. I know. I can speak from personal experience. I'm just kidding.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Shade was thrown.
Oh, man.
Shade was thrown.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, see, I always knew that Steffi was shady. She hides it well. She hides it well. That's one of the things that drew me to Steffi, that I could tell that deep down inside that she's shady, but she doesn't let everybody see that side to her.
I'm very, like, I have to be, like, very particular when I decide to, like, come out with the shade,
uh-huh.
you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, sometimes, too, like, because of, the, like, the way I say it, it's, like, very friendly.
Uh-huh.
But you're, like, you have to, like, kind of be, like, oh, wait, what did she say?
Yeah, read you into know? It. Don't read into everything, but some things you can read into. And when shade is thrown, I catch it.
Yeah. Justin's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I caught it.
Got it. But, yeah, do you think we wrapped everything up?
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good discussion.
I think so,
too. I feel like, I feel like we, you know, the idea of, like, fandom and stans, like, that psychology behind that personally, like, really interests me, not just because I'm, like, a huge fan or stan, but from an outside perspective, too, just seeing the way that people react to certain things, I find that it's, like, a why, I find that really interesting. But I think at a base level, we did cover a lot here.
We did.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. So, Steffi, I think that about wraps it up. So, my thing with stan culture is love your faves. Don't be in that toxic bunch that's out here acting crazy and looking a fool here on social media. It is what you make of it. Steffi, what are your last words on stan culture?
Yeah, I mean, if it's okay for you to be a fan of something. That's not what we're not saying, like, don't be a fan of something. It's okay to be a fan of something. But, you know, watch yourself. Check yourself, and also know that it's okay for people to like what they like and to not like what they don't like. Like, not everything is for everyone, and that's okay. That's pretty much all my thoughts.
That's it. So, Steffi, again, thank you for joining me on this episode. Plug yourself one last time for the people.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to follow me on YouTube, I'm In My Humble Opinion, and then you could follow me on Twitter or Instagram. That's at INN_MHO. And then I also have a podcast called Diva Dailies, where we deconstruct divas on film and TV. It's a fun time over there. So if you want to give that a listen, it's Diva Dailies. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So I will link all of that in the description of this episode, so y'all definitely feel free to check it out, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And yeah, so with that being said, y'all be safe. Y'all, thank you for listening. It means so much to me. Feel free to subscribe on all the platforms and all that good stuff. And as usual, I will catch you guys on the next one. Y'all stay safe. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, listeners.